Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour here of Tiki and Tierney. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Tiki Barber, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Pretty good final hour coming up. Going to talk about Damian Lillard, who just went off last night. Carmelo Anthony had a pretty good day as well. In our very next segment, we're going to do the second of our training camp two-a-days for this Wednesday with the Denver Broncos and Brandon Stokley, our good friend. He comes in every year to do our training camp two-a-days and also during the season when there are Broncos issues to chat about. He's the host of Stokley and Zach on 104.3 in Denver, obviously is a former wide receiver as well. Really, really opinionated, very good with his takes on the Denver Broncos. We'll get a little get into insight on Vic Fangio's second year and whether or not Drew Locke can be the guy. They got a couple of burners, really good players in the draft this year. Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler from Penn State, if you're here on the East Coast, so you know who he is. But we're going to talk to Brandon Stokley about the Denver Broncos for training camp two-a-days in our next segment. But we'll sneak in a little bit of basketball here. Now, obviously, the bubble is winding down. The last games are on Friday, so there are only 3 days of games left. And the West has gotten very, very, very interesting for that last playoff seed. Now, with the Portland Trailblazers winning last night, they moved into the 8th seed, supplanting the Memphis Grizzlies, which means that there will be a play-in game. Unfortunately for the Grizzlies, they now have to win 2 games as opposed to winning 1 game. But Thursday, tomorrow, it's going to shape up to be an epic, probably reasoning for why this bubble worked out so well for the Western Conference, because 3 teams are in play right now. The Portland Trailblazers, who are sitting in the 8th seed, and the Memphis Grizzlies and the Phoenix Suns. There's really 4 teams because the San Antonio Spurs are there as well. But the Phoenix Suns, who are 7-0 in the bubble. Remember, the seeding games are only 8. There's only 8 seeding games. The Phoenix Suns, led by Devin Booker, who had 35 the other night, have not lost in the bubble, and they've pushed themselves into a tie for that seeding game. I'm not necessarily sure of the tiebreaker because they're not playing each other tomorrow, but we'll get into that, and we'll talk about it a lot tomorrow as those Thursday games are going to be the determining factor for who gets the shot to play the Los Angeles Lakers in round one of the Western Conference playoffs. But that's a story for tomorrow. The story for today is that Damian Lillard has been nothing short of spectacular this season. His last game, he scored 51 points. This game recently, yesterday, he scored 61 points. He's been on fire. And this goes back to the regular season where he was having a fantastic year as well. And it just makes us think about what could or hasn't happened, what could have been or what hasn't happened yet for Damian Lillard. And that's obviously a championship. We tend to judge, especially basketball players, because it's a sport where one guy, one star, should and usually does make a difference on whether or not a team gets to the finals or wins a championship. Now, obviously, you need complementary pieces. And going back, 12 years now with LeBron James joining, the Miami Heat. I don't think it was 12 years ago, but you know what I mean. When he joined the Miami Heat and won those two championships with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, it's been about the super team. It's been less about an organization, a basketball general manager and team putting together stars through the draft and developing and, maybe finding a guy here or there in free agency to players moving where they want to go, finding a perfect situation and jumping into it because they know that it's going to give them a chance to win a championship. And Damian Lillard hasn't done that. Now, the question is, did he ever have the opportunity? And the answer is, yeah, he did have the opportunity. There is a gentleman, for one of his former coaches, his name is Earl Watson. And Earl J. Watson, I should say, that's his Twitter. Earl J. Watson, Last Watson, at Last Watson is his Twitter account. There's an underscore between Earl and Watson. Had this Twitter streak going on last night. And Damian Lillard, after this epic game yesterday where he scored 61 points and helped the Portland Trailblazers move into the eighth seed, obviously a fantastic effort. Remember, he was one of those that were saying, if we don't have a chance to make it to the postseason, then we're not going into the bubble. Yeah, I know you want more teams, and me and CJ McCollum and even Carmelo at this point are stars of the league, but if we don't have a chance to make the postseason, why are we going to go play? Yeah, well, the team will go down there, but we're not playing. Now, guess what? They had a chance to make it to the postseason, and they are in the postseason right now, at least pending the play-in game. So he was asked about the series of tweets from a former coach, Earl Watson. I'm going to get to the tweets in a second, but I just want to let you hear what Damian Lillard said about his former coach.
When I'm done playing, I look back like, oh, you did this, and then you bounced here and you bounced there. That's not what I wish for my career. So I talked to Earl about that because that's one of my good friends. I trust his word and he has great experience. I feel like we can build something and get it done in Portland. And I really believe that, I don't just say it to say it. So the fact that I really believe it, me and him talked and I was just like, this is what I really believe and this is really what I want to accomplish. And I'm willing to all out commit to that.
Now, that's Dame Lillard talking about the conversation that he had with Earl Watson. Now, here's what Earl Watson said. This is why Damian Lillard was asked about this following this epic game. I mean, he was the highlight reel, man. 61 points, and CJ McCollum had an off day, and so it was all on Dame's back. That's the beauty of having two backcourt players like Dame and CJ. If one of them has an off day, the other one can get really hot, and Dame has done that a lot in his career. He's done it a lot this season. But this is what Earl Watson said yesterday as a result of watching his boy go off. These are his quotes from at Earl underscore Watson. Since Dame won't say it, I will. Before Dame's last extension, he was approached to join a super team. He immediately called me, and I was assuming it was because he respects me, and I asked him, what do you want to do? He didn't waste a second before he responded. He said, Big EJ, I want to stay in Portland. I want to build it with my teammates and beat every MFing super team out there. My response was, real ones do things others are afraid to endure. That's a profound quote by Earl Watson. Real ones do things that others are afraid to endure. What's he talking about? Struggles of losing, falling short, getting to the conference championship, and getting knocked out, never getting an opportunity to play in a championship game. Earl continues. So to the media, stop the BS analytics on why Dame is not a superstar in playoff wins, points, minutes, etc. If not, you'll drive top players to link up just to shut you up and kill the game. Dame doesn't control free agency, the draft, or attractiveness of his city that he was drafted to. And lastly, he goes on, says, whether he does it this season or next, whatever. Thank you for pissing off the wrong one. Dame feeds on the doubters, haters, and attention seekers. True Oakland and true Warrior, Portland, has a real one. That is deep, man. It's a strong statement by Earl Watson. And it really provocatively makes you think about how we evaluate superstars in the NBA. We give them credit for winning championships when they do it inorganically, not the way that we grew up watching basketball teams being structured and coaches developing a system and finding the right players through the draft, maybe some free agency role players. It's now been about the ownership of the NBA by the superstars. And Dame doesn't want to do it that way. And as a result, we fault him. Like we always say, yeah, Dame's on the outside. Like top 10 players in the NBA. Yeah, he's there. Yeah, maybe he's like 6 or 7. But he doesn't have the championship. When we look at his career, we can't evaluate it properly because he doesn't have the championship. But maybe as Watson was saying, Dame is doing it differently, and he's trying to create a different standard for excellence. And that's striving against the objectives that are insurmountable, right? He's striving to be the anti-LeBron James. He's striving to be unlike Kevin Durant or some of these others that have moved places and joined forces with other superstars. And what makes this so compelling, like ultra compelling, is that tomorrow we might find out that the Portland Trailblazers, probably not tomorrow, but you know, a couple of games into the play-in tournament for the 8th and final seed in the West, because the Portland Trailblazers are in that, thanks to Dame 61 last night, we might get the opportunity to watch Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum and Carmelo Anthony and this Portland Trailblazers team take on the ultimate, at least current, super team creator, right, in LeBron James. If they come in at the 8th seed and they have to face the LA Lakers in a neutral environment, are they a real threat? Now, most people will say no, you know, AD is a man. He's unstoppable. Even though he's been a little bit inconsistent in the bubble, he's still Anthony Davis. And LeBron James has all this history. His history of dominance in the postseason. He goes into a zero dark 30 mode, whatever the heck he calls it, and turns into a monster. Every year that he's been healthy for the last 8, he's been in the finals. He just consistently goes. He's the best player in the NBA right now for a reason. But here comes Dame doing it a different way, not joining forces, sticking with the Portland Trailblazers, even though he had offers to go join a super team. And you better believe if Dame had gone and joined some super team, whoever it may have been, whether it was Boston or Philly or the Lakers, whoever, that team would be significantly better with Damian Lillard on that squad. But he doesn't want to do it that way. He wants to be real. And I think what Earl is talking about and what Dame is really buying into is that he is real. He's real committed and he's real loyal. That's what we've missed in basketball for the last decade or so. There's no loyalty. The loyalty is to the paycheck and the opportunity for a win. There is no loyalty to the team that gave you your first chance. And Dame is doing that. Right? For that alone, you got to put Dame in a category by himself. Yeah, he doesn't have the championships like LeBron or even Kawhi, who has a couple and MVPs and things of that nature. But given what Dame is doing and the way that he's doing it, it's unique and it's fun as hell to watch. 855-212-4227. Not that you're going to have a chance to call because we have a training camp two-a-day coming up. But you can tweet us at Tiki and Tierney on Twitter. Tell us what you think about Dame. I mean, yeah, I'm one of those. I raise my hand. I doubt him because I look at him shallowly, and that's not fair to him. What he's doing, what he's done, the history of his career, and the fact that he's a nonconformist to the traditions, the new traditions of the superstars in the NBA is kind of awesome. You know, sometimes you don't follow. You write your own path, and Damian Lillard is definitely doing that with the Portland Trailblazers. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I hope they win this play-in series and secure the eighth seed and have to take on the LA Lakers. That would be an awesome series. All right. Coming up on the other side, we are going to preview the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos have some rebounding to do after Vic Fangio's first season. Their defense is getting stout. I also believe that their quarterback, Drew Lock, he might be the answer. I like his attitude at the very least. We'll get all that and more on the other side. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. And while you're there, you can have your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4227 is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Tiki and Tierney on this Wednesday afternoon, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Like we do every time about this time of year, it's training camp two-a-days. And up next, it's Tiki and Tierney's training camp two-a-days with the Denver Broncos.
It's time for the Tiki and Tierney NFL training camp two-a-days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
Denver Broncos, 7-9, second in the AFC West. The Broncos surprised many, winning seven games thanks to rookie QB Drew Lock's strong play down the stretch. GM John Elway gave Lock some weapons, adding Melvin Gordon to the backfield and drafting former Bama wideout Jerry Jeudy to team up with rising star Courtland Sutton.
I'm super pumped about the guys we added to the squad. You know, it means a lot to me to see that happen. Puts a little extra confidence, you know, on my back, and those expectations do rise when you have so many weapons around you. But I like to say that I hold myself to high expectations. No, I like to put pressure on myself in general.
Future Hall of Famer Von Miller still anchors the defense, but is Locke the real deal or just a placeholder?
Helping us break down the Denver Broncos, our good friend Brandon Stokely, host of Stokely and Zach on 104.3 out in Denver, obviously former wide receiver as well. Brandon, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy. How's everything going? Thanks for having me.
Cannot complain at all. We're in our basement doing the show, but other than that, I don't mind the non-commute, to tell you the truth. And with Zoom,
we're
broadcasting quite well over CBS Sports Network. So, you know, let's get to the Denver Broncos. Vic Fangio's second year, Brandon. I think that, I mean, I look at the history over the last 4 years, and I didn't know this till I read it this morning. And I was like, what? Seven quarterbacks, five offensive coordinators, and three head coaches. I mean, no wonder they've been so inconsistent. Is there going to be some stability with Vic Fangio? Are you, as an organization, as a fan base, are they confident in Vic going forward?
I believe so. And I believe, you know, the history that you just said buys him a little bit more time. The last thing John Elway wants to do is have to fire another head coach and have to fire Vic Fangio. So I think the circumstances surrounding this offseason, everything that's going on, pretty much gives him a pass until 2021. And so unless it's an epic failure, which I don't think it's going to be, I think Vic Fangio will get a pass till 2021. But a lot of changes, right, that usually means a lot of losing, and that's what's going on. You got to have some consistency with your head coach and certainly your coordinators and your offensive coordinator here, that they've been turning those things over so much, it's hard to be a good football team. And I think they realize that, and that's why I think that moving forward here, you're going to see Vic Fangio get another opportunity unless it's an epic, epic failure.
Yeah, no, we'll get to that new offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur, who was the New York Giants head coach just a year ago. But, you know, from what, you know, Sam Durr, my producer, just told me, you haven't even been allowed yet over at training camp. I mean, this offseason has obviously been historically unique and unprecedented, and it's hard to get information. What is it like up there for those guys? Have you had any interaction with them, come on your show, talked about anything? What's it been like?
Well, we've had Brandon McManus, the player rep, come on our show, but it's been different. Like you said, normally we're out there and we're broadcasting live right after practice, and we get to watch the practice, we react to the practice. And so for us, it's been a lot different trying to come up with different topics and different storylines, because we usually watch and react to practice during training camp. So we'll be able to have one guy out there per day starting on Friday, and I'll be able to go out there on Monday. And so it's different. It's definitely different, but that's just the way it is this year. And we're adapting, and we still, you know, you still get the buzz, you still get the feel of what's going on, but until you lay your eyes on them, you know, it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, you can't. The eye in the sky don't lie, but the eye in your eyes looks much better.
That's what I like to go with. I like to go with what my eyes see, not what everybody else is telling me.
I agree with you. Brandon Stokely, host of Stokely and Zach on 104.3 out in Denver, joins us here to break down the Denver Broncos and their prospects for 2020. All right, let's get to Coach Shurmur, the new offensive coordinator. It's really hard, I think, for young quarterbacks, and Drew Lock, having been drafted last year in the second round, is he qualifies. But to get one coordinator and then have another coordinator, how do you see him? Personally, I like him. What I see on television, his attitude is great. He's got confidence. He led in a unique way, I think, last year. Tell us a little bit about Drew Lock from your experience.
Yeah, you know, he was a guy they really didn't want to play last year. They tried every which way not to play him for whatever reason. They wanted to let him sit, and they were kind of forced to play him. And, you know what, he stepped up and he just delivered in a big way. Like you said, he brought energy, he brought passion. His teammates, the veteran players on that team, loved him in the locker room. And he just brought an energy to that football team when they needed it the most. And you saw the performances on the football field. It translated into wins for him. Obviously, this offseason is going to be what was difficult for him, not being able to be around the coaching staff and be around the players and go out there and try to practice and get some reps in with this new offense with Pat Shurmur being the offensive coordinator. So it's going to be tough and difficult, and I think we got to evaluate him through that, through those lenses, and understand the circumstances that he's going to be in because of the lack of an offseason. But I do believe he has that it factor. You know, he took over the leadership role of this offense and got guys together this offseason and tried to do as much as he possibly could because of the lack of an offseason, and give themselves a chance to be a good offense. And so he's taken over that leadership role. I really love what I've seen and heard about him and how he's handled himself this offseason, and he's taken the right approach. And but obviously it's going to be difficult for somebody like it. This was one of the most important off seasons of his career.
Yeah.
And it got taken away from him. So, but there's an optimism surrounding him this year, but he's only played 5 games. So it's, you got to see more.
You know how you mitigate that? You put good talent around him, really kind of great talent. Right. Obviously, Courtland Sutton is really good. We know that already. Jerry Jeudy from Alabama, K.J. Hamler. He may not be quite ready to step in and be a contributor on the NFL, but if he's the third wide receiver, maybe he is. Noah Fant from last year, Melvin Gordon. I mean, it's almost like we're going to protect you, kid. This skill group is as accomplished, as at least on paper, as you could put together around a young quarterback.
Yeah, Tiki, you're spot on. You know, when you looked at this offense, and you could tell it was a big point of emphasis for John Elway to surround his young quarterback with talent. And he knew he needed to do that, that Broncos needed a huge upgrade on offense, and that's what they went about this offseason to do. And I think that's what they accomplished. So certainly you make your quarterback's job a lot easier when you got playmakers around him, and he doesn't feel like he has to do everything. And Courtland Sutton's a stud. And then you look at Jerry Jeudy. I thought he was the steal of the draft. I couldn't believe the Raiders passed on him, but the most complete wide receiver in the draft. And so for him to fall to 15, I thought was a home run for the Broncos. And then they got the speed guy in the second round, just a tough guy that will be hopefully a really good slot receiver for the Broncos. But you can put him in the backfield. You can do so many different things with him. And he presents that challenge to defenses with his speed. So you've upgraded around Drew Lock, and hopefully Noah Fant can take that next step. And you still got, you look at the backfield, and you added Melvin Gordon, and you still got Phillip Lindsay back there also. So I really, really do like what they did offensively to try to help Drew Lock out. You need to know, is this kid the real deal or not? And it won't be one of those things where you say, we're not quite sure because the talent's not there around him. They put the talent there, so you should be able to see, if this kid is the real deal or not.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've always viewed Denver from a defensive standpoint, defensive dominant. Vic Fangio is obviously a defensive guy. Von Miller, still Von Miller. Bradley Chubb only played 4 games last year, so he's got to get healthy. But the defense, are they going to, play second fiddle to this offense because of what we've seen? Or is this defense still going to be the driver of the bus, so to speak, for the success of the Broncos in 2020?
Well, it's got to be the driver in 2020. Now you start looking to 2021, and now things might be slowly starting to change here in Denver. But in 2020, like we talked about, the lack of an offseason, offenses usually start slow to begin with. So I think it's going to be even more so this year. And you look at the Denver's offense, I think they're going to need a lot of help early. And this defense has got to be great. And the Broncos spent more money on defense than any other team in the league. They got the most salary cap hit on the defensive side of the football than any team in the league, so they have a lot of resources there. They're coming back intact with second-year defensive coordinator, who's their head coach. So not a lot of changes going on. They had some good additions, Jarrell Casey, A.J. Boye, Chubb returning, Von Miller, his approach this year and the things that he is talking about, how he kind of looked in the mirror and realizes he needed to step his game up heading into this year, pivotal year for him. Whether he's going to be here for the long haul or not, he's got to have a bounce back year. So you look at the players and the talent they have and all the stuff that's happened this offseason, defenses will be ahead, and this defense should be great. I mean, they absolutely no excuses for this defense not to be a really great defense.
We're talking to Brandon Stokely, host of Stokely and Zach out in Denver on 104.3, and obviously he's a former wide receiver on the National Football League with the Broncos. So, Stoke, before we let you go here, the division is, it feels strong. The Chargers felt like they underachieved. They could get better, but we'll see what happens with the quarterback. The Kansas City Chiefs are the world champions, and the Raiders, up in the air, but they're in a new venue. I mean, the division feels available in a sense, at least the second part of the second tier of the division. Where are the Broncos relative to the division? Is this rebuild, or is this like we have a shot? Like, what should be the expectation for this team this year?
Yeah, I think, when you look at it, obviously you got the Chiefs, and they're the top dog. And then after that, it's up for grabs. A lot of changes going on around, the Chargers and their quarterback position. Are they going to be playing Herbert? Are they going to stick with Tyrod Taylor? What's going to go on there? No more Phillip Rivers. So it's, I think the Broncos feel good about, really competing for that second spot. And a lot depends on the offense and Drew Lock. But with this defense, they should be in a lot of football games. And you look around to the Raiders and the change and, moving from Oakland to Vegas and everything going on there, how will they adapt to that? But I think you look at the division and you look at the Chargers without Phillip Rivers, how will they respond? You look at the Broncos with the influx of young talent offensively and still a really good defense. They feel like they should be the second best team in the AFC West.
Yeah, I think that's about right. That's how I would see it. They have an opportunity, and that's all you can ask for, especially with a young
team,
and that's all you can ask for. Hey, Brandon, appreciate you hopping on, as always, to give us some insight on the Denver Broncos. Be good and stay safe.
Yeah, thanks for having me, TK. Tiki, I appreciate it, buddy.
Be well. Brandon Stokely, former wide receiver in the National Football League, and a host out Stokely and Zach on 104.3 out in Denver. He had just gotten off his show, so he hopped on with us, which was great. All right, Charlie Blackmon, he's red hot. But should we view stats in Major League Baseball differently this year? The Blast is next. But first, let's get an update from Bob Uessler. Bob, take it away.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Corey in Little Rock. Do you feel that the ACC, Big 12, or SEC are being irresponsible or reckless by not canceling their season? Corey, it's a good question. I'm going to say no, they're not being reckless. But unlike the Big 12, the Big 10, I should say, and the Pac 12, they are delaying for as long as they possibly can. And you heard some of the coaches say this. James Franklin from Penn State, Ryan Day from Ohio State, questioning why that the conferences and the conference presidents were canceling the season now. Why not wait? Give yourself some time, whether it's 3 weeks or a month and a half, and then make a determination after you have some more clarity, medical clarity, even though some doctors are saying this myocarditis is a big deal, especially for heavier athletes. So I don't think they're being irresponsible. I think what they're doing is delaying for as long as possible. But as Aaron Taylor, our CBS Sports Network college football analyst, told us earlier, he doesn't think it's going to happen. It's an inevitability that the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 are going to join at the Big 10 and the Pac-12 by delaying, canceling the season, maybe even to the spring. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet us at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Last segment here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. It's been a good show, really good. Training camp two-a-days, Dan Quinn was fantastic at the top of the 4 o'clock Eastern hour. Obviously, Brandon Stokley, who we just had, is always on the money explaining the goings-on with the Denver Broncos, and Aaron Taylor, who I just mentioned in the O'Reilly Auto Parts question of the day, CBS Sports Network analyst, gave some good insights, and he had a lot to say. You can tell that he's fired up about it. He loves college sports, but the lack of leadership from the NCAA and some of the risks that are being thrown on the players, the fact they don't have representation, is very frustrating to him, and I get it. I can completely buy in to those frustrations. Don't forget, if you missed any of our segments today, you can find them on our YouTube channel. It's YouTube, www.youtube.com/TikiandTierney. We have had our own channel for about 3 weeks now, so it's great. You can go find all of our content. Make sure you click on the chime button over there so that you can be notified when we put new content up there. CBS Sports Network does a fantastic job with all of that. All right, one more packet segment we got to go. That will be the blast before we get you out of here. D-Cell, you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, the Bengals are close to signing Pro Bowl defensive lineman Mike Daniels. How confident are you that the Bengals are building the right way, long-term success around Joe Burrow?
Yeah, it's a tough one with free agents that are still hanging out there. Crazy, Davion Clowney still has not signed. I mean, training camps are happening. They're not on the field yet, per se. I mean, some of them are, but you're doing running around in your underwear. There's nothing really going on. I don't even think they have helmets on for a lot of the on-field stuff that they're doing. It's learning and conditioning and strength. But Jadeveon Clowney is not signed. Guys that are this late, they're usually fill-in pieces and to add some depth. And does this inform me about what I feel about the Bengals? Honestly, it's all going to come down to how Joe Burrow performs. And
It's going to be unfair how I think we evaluate him, and me in particular, because I'm not sure it was the right pick for them at number one, especially with the two guys, really three guys, that may be coming out next season in the NFL draft. Build depth, get somebody who's impactful on a defensive line or maybe an offensive line. That might have been the more prudent way to go. But it's all going to depend on, in 3 years, whether or not Joe Burrow lives up to the expectation of being a national champion and a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. We know that he's smart. We know that he's got good downfield accuracy. But ultimately, building around the wrong guy still is the wrong guy. It's still open for me. We'll see.
It was announced yesterday, Teek, that Deion Sanders was departing from NFL Network and signing with Barstool Sports. Does this seem like a match for primetime?
Not really, to be honest with you. I guess it gives him more flexibility. I know that, you know, the NFL Network, because of the locations that you have to broadcast from, can be a grind. There's a lot of travel that goes in to being an NFL Network broadcaster, whether that's on site, especially if you're a name like Primetime and Deion Sanders, who is iconic to the National Football League. So he was everywhere, and they used him for everything, as they should, because he's got a great brand, and we pay attention and listen to him, and his delivery is uniquely Prime. But he also is a dad, and he's been coaching, and when you look at his social media accounts, it seems like that has become one of the more important things in his day-to-day life, is having flexibility so that he can do those type of things. And so while Barstool's brand doesn't necessarily align with Deion's brand, I think having the flexibility that doing a show on Barstool, whether it's a podcast or even a daily, it just fits his life more. So I think it's disappointing because he's been there since the inception of the NFL Network, but it's always time to move on at some point.
The Memphis Grizzlies are 1-6 in the bubble with one game left tomorrow against the Bucks. Have the Grizzlies been the most disappointing team in the bubble thus far?
Yeah, you know, they have been, and I think it is partly their fault. You remember Ja Morant at the very beginning of the bubble talking about how unfair it was, and it's almost like this negative, self-fulfilling prophecy that kind of started to take over. It's like when you have this negative mindset, then ultimately when things go just a little bit wrong, so let's say you get off to a 1-2 start like they did, it just perpetuates itself. It's like a boulder rolling downhill, and there's no resistance to it because you're already so negative. Now they get lucky, because as you heard in Bob Uecker's update, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who headbutted an opponent yesterday, suspended for their final game, and this game means nothing to the Bucks. They may still salvage an opportunity to be that ninth seed in the West and play the play-in game with the Portland Trailblazers, but we'll see. They're going to have to win a game. The Bucks are still going to fight, because even if it's not Giannis or Chris or whoever, Middleton, those guys that are the stars playing, it's still going to be an opportunity for somebody, and they are the best team, and they're very well coached. So, yeah, they are a big disappointment, but I think they created the disappointment themselves.
All right, take a little baseball here. Rockies outfielder Charlie Blackmon is hitting .500 this season after going 3-for-4 last night. There's also two other players hitting over .400 in Major League Baseball. Will this be the season that someone hits over .400, and should it have an asterisk?
Oh, definitely. It better have an asterisk, because the body of work is so truncated. I mean, it's a third of the season, a little bit more, but you know, it's a third of the season that they're playing, and two-thirds of it they're missing. It doesn't make any like logical sense to say you hit 400 or 500 in Charlie Backman's case, and you're one of the greatest hitters of all time. Because that's what the number would say. If you're flipping through baseballreference.com and you see Charlie Blackmon's stats as, you know, the greatest hitter of all time, and you know Charlie Blackmon's history, he's good. I'm not saying he's bad. You're going to say, huh? What? That doesn't make any sense. You know, what happened to those slumps? Oh, I see. They only played 60 games. Yeah, it definitely needs to have an asterisk, because the Major League Baseball history is defined by the continuity of it. Yes, I know that at one point it was 154 games, but that's significantly more still. It's 100 games, almost more than 60. So, yeah, it definitely should.
All right, Teague, let's talk some hockey here. I know we're big hockey fans on this show.
Must we?
All right, so last night the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 3-2 in Game 1 of their playoff series in the fifth overtime. Yes, come on. Fifth overtime. Should the NHL playoffs turn into a shootout if the game is tied after the first overtime period?
I mean, maybe you go two. Maybe you go two. But I saw the consequences of this. I didn't watch it personally, but just watching, following the sports news, that they had to delay another game because the NHL, like the NBA, is in bubbles. And so the games are played in two locations, and they're kind of back-to-back. And so when this game went five overtimes, it was like 2 hours too long, and ended up delaying and canceling the other games. And so not because of that, but I think just from a enjoyment standpoint, you have to get to some sort of conclusive way to conclude it. Soccer does this. European soccer does this. They play a couple of overtimes, and then they go to a shootout, but you got to get to those couple of overtimes. I think two is the right number, but letting it go indefinitely, I mean, this thing could have went to like 10 overtimes. It's just having it open-ended doesn't make any sense because of the quirkiness of sport. So, yeah, it needs to definitely change from 5-2, and then a shootout would be, I think, ideal.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
We have training camp two-a-days coming up tomorrow as well. We have the Detroit Lions. I know I'm not sure who the guest is that we'll have booked for the Detroit Lions, but training camp two-a-days will roll on tomorrow, so tune in to get that for sure. Lomas Brown will be our Detroit Lions, we call him correspondent, our Tiki and Tierney training camp correspondent. We had him last year as well. I love Lomas because Lomas, my early years with the New York Giants, was the old head in the locker room. He used to call me Lil-ish because I was so little going in the huddle. He's like, Lil-ish, what's happening? He'd like hold my hand when we were standing in the huddle. I actually started to hold my pinky. He would like hold my pinky while I was walking, while we were in the huddle. It was one of those quirky things that happens in on the football field that people usually don't notice. But we'll have another one. Samter will book another Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-days, likely in the NFC North, I assume. But Lomas Brown and the Detroit Lions will be up for us tomorrow for sure. And they have a lot of issues to talk about, including Matt Stafford. And we'll get his take, at least Lomas's take, on the Matt Stafford situation with the false positive and how that could potentially impact teams going forward in this NFL season. You know it's going to happen. Let's hope that it doesn't become disruptive. A great show. Appreciate all of you joining us. Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Brandon Stokely, who told us about the Denver Broncos, and our own Aaron Taylor. Much more sports talk coming up tomorrow, the NBA, and obviously the NFL, which is in training camp. You guys have a great one. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.